This episode is being brought to you by the Speak English with Tiffany free email newsletter. That's right, an email newsletter that will help you improve your English. Each week, you'll receive several emails on different English topics. The emails will include common mistakes made by students and how to avoid them. Interesting stories about non-native speakers overcoming challenges in the U.S., video recommendations for improving your English skills, and you will even receive special discounts on English programs. So sign up for free by going to www.speakenglishwithtiffany.com/newsletter. Once again, www.speakenglishwithtiffany.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Speak English with Tiffany podcast, a podcast especially created for intermediate and advanced English learners. In today's episode, you will hear a conversation that I had with one of my students, a conversation that was fully in English. You'll be inspired and you'll want to speak just like the student did in this conversation. Are you ready? Well then, let's jump right in. Hey, Basha, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. And you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you so much. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
All right. Now, I had mentioned before that I set up these interviews because I really want to get to know you guys even better. So, Basha, I see you all the time in our weekly live classes, but I want you to introduce yourself. Like, for those that will watch this later or listen to this later, who are you? What country do you live in? Tell us a little bit about yourself, Basha.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Basha. I'm from Russia, so it rhymes. I work as HR in IT company, and I'm searching for different specialists around the globe. So, for example, in the United States, in Europe, in Russia. So, finding a good fit. And also, I'm responsible for internal HR, like onboarding and other things. And in terms of my hobbies, I like music. I used to play in a band with my friends. I used to rap, so I like music in general. So yeah, that's a few things about me.
I like that. I learned some new things about you. I didn't know you used to rap. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Not used to. I'm still doing it.
Oh, you're still doing it. That's nice. All right, well, then let me ask you this. So you seem to be a guy that has a lot of hobbies. You seem like a very nice guy. I always enjoy when you pop into our classes on Tuesdays. Let me ask you this. Why did you decide to even start studying English? Like in the beginning, when you started studying, why did you decide to start studying English?
In general, you mean? Not
yeah,
your
in general. Yeah.
So I think... So my journey with English started like long time ago when I was studying in school. Lessons were from first grade. But at that time, it was really boring because teachers were, you know, they were with this strong Russian accent saying like, London is the capital of Great Britain, you know. And it was boring. But after that, later, I think when I was 12 or something, I started to listen music, especially hip-hop music, 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, they were very popular at that time. And I wanted to understand what they're rapping about. And I started to learn lyrics of songs. And that's how I improved my skills, understanding, and other things, pronunciation. And after that, my friend, he invited me to the camp with English lessons. So it's a mix. You just chill, and also you have English lessons with native speakers. There were like many different teachers from United States, from English-speaking countries. Yeah, and later I used to study English at the university, but now I feel like I use English in my work, but I feel like I'm stuck in my level and I don't have enough vocabulary to speak about certain topics. I feel like it's difficult sometimes to understand TV shows, like some expressions that I used. They're very complicated, and I feel like I didn't get the joke, for example, if I'm watching American TV shows. So something like that. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm studying your course, for example. And it's really helpful.
I'm so happy to hear that. You know, I love the way you said that the reason why you started studying English with more intensity was because you wanted to understand what they were saying in the songs, right? 50 Cent or all these other rappers, Eminem, and Eminem actually raps very fast. So I'm sure you had to do a lot of studying. But, you know, it's something that I've mentioned before, and I'm sure you've heard me say it. When you're studying English, find something you're interested in, and that makes it more enjoyable. So I have always been aware of your ability, your skill of speaking English. I know I'm helping you, but I'm glad to hear that you are doing something, you're learning things that you're interested in. So that's good. That's good. Now, you said that after joining the academy and following my programs, you really have improved and you're enjoying it. So let me ask you this question then. Which program did you enroll in and when did you enroll? Because I have different programs. Which program did you enroll in and about what time?
Yeah, so I was enrolled in your main course, like 365 days. I forgot.
Okay, daily English lessons.
Yeah. So I'm enrolled in this course. I started in May. And now I want to join. I'm choosing between business English and speak English like a native. So I'm in the process of deciding
what course. I like that. Okay, so then let me ask you this then. So you joined around May and you're debating, you know, another program to join. We'll be happy to have you join the other parts of our family. What have you enjoyed the most? Like, what have you seen to be different? Again, you know, my goal as a teacher is to help students be confident, and I try to teach in a different way. But for you as the English learner, what have you noticed that's different? What have you enjoyed the most about the program?
I think about this specific program, 365 days. I think I liked the structure in general because, if you look at weeks, they're completely different, and it's cool that they help to master different skills like speaking, vocabulary, many different things. That's why I like it, and I'm enjoying it. But if we talk about English life lessons, I like the fact that I can communicate with different students from around the world. It's funny, like, to know something shocking about other cultures and something interesting. So yeah, I think these are two facts. And in general, how you present the information, it differs from another courses because, again, some of them are boring, some of them are too focused on one specific things. And I like the fact that it's easygoing style and in general having fun.
I'm happy to hear that. I enjoy having a good time. You know, I'm always smiling, so I'm always happy when students can enjoy the lessons too. Now, I know that, you know, you're a good student, you learn a lot, and you have learned a lot. But along your journey, because again, other family members are going to watch this video later, they're going to watch this interview, and they're probably going to be inspired because they're not at the level you're at just yet. Can you tell us, I want to ask you two things. The first thing is, what's the hardest thing for you right now as it relates to studying English? What's the hardest thing about studying English for you right now?
I think, so for me, I think in general, it's difficult to move from upper intermediate or intermediate level to advanced because it seems like you know basics or some vocabulary, and you understand that you need to improve more, but you can't understand specifically what to focus more. I don't know.
It's clear.
So still it's a bit complicated because even in your course there is many information And sometimes I feel hard to understand what to focus more. Like, I learned a lot of vocabulary, how to use it. Okay, like the 3 week passes and I forgot it, like 50% of it, right? So there is still a question, like, how to keep it in mind, everything in mind that I've learned, right? And how to still use it. Of course, I can talk. Of course, I can watch. But like,
yeah. So, you know, I'm going to give you some advice because you're saying exactly what I know as it relates to students, English learners. So you're at this point, right? You're at the upper intermediate level, trying to get to the advanced level, right? The main thing, the main goal, the current membership that you're in, the daily English lessons membership, I have students that are in daily English lessons and also speak English like a native together. And there's a reason they're doing it simultaneously. So what you're in right now is helping you with consistency, just studying on a regular basis, having a daily lesson, learning new things that will help you later on when you watch something or have a conversation. But what you're saying right now is, okay, Tiffany, I know so many things, but how do I actually, you know, reach that native English speaker level? And at the beginning, I know you mentioned you're debating whether you want to go for the business English course, which is absolutely amazing. Teacher Julie is the one that created that course, or the Speak English Like a Native membership. I'll be honest with you. Knowing your level, knowing your ability to organize your thoughts, knowing how comfortable you are when we have our live classes, my advice would be for you to join the Speak English Like a Native membership. You can stay in the daily English lessons because there are lots of things to learn there. But with the Speak English Like a Native, what I literally do every month, there's one topic. There's one conversation between two native English speakers. And I literally break it down. How we think, what words we're using, what expressions we're using. And what has happened, I've been watching students over the past few months, because it's one topic for 1 month, even though it's a lot of information, there are five steps every month that they follow. By the end of the month, they're able to use every word. They're able to use every expression, and they've learned how to organize their thoughts. So for me as your teacher, what I see that will help you move to the next level is being able to organize your thoughts like a native English speaker. And that's something I don't teach in the daily English lessons because the focus there is consistency. Normally, yeah. Students have a trouble. Well, what do I study? Well, I'll study today, not tomorrow. Or I'll study next week, but not next month. And my goal is to help them be consistent. But I already know you're consistent. So you can stay there again. It's very good for resources, so many resources to help you. And then with this one, the Speak English Like a Native, it probably will blow your mind because I literally break down. There are certain fundamentals that every native English speaker uses whenever we speak. We use the same kind of breakdown every time we speak, but that's what I'm doing in the Speak English Like a Native. But again, we have a good time, so I think you'd still enjoy it. But yeah, I'd suggest you try that out. And again, if you like it, you can continue. And we have a meeting once a month as well with me, but then there are a lot more meetings with other teachers as well throughout the month. So I think you'd like it. I think it would help you a lot.
Yeah, so it sounds interesting. And by the way, I'm not consistent. I'm like 4 or 5 weeks late. So
it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I know. Life happens.
I'm trying.
And that's good. Well, then let me ask you this then. So what do you enjoy the most?
In general.
About like studying in the academy right now. Like, what do you enjoy the most about studying? Because right now you're studying with me and the other family members. So what do you enjoy the most?
It seems like I'm enjoying everything, but let me do something.
That's good news.
I think, what also good is that we have this Telegram chat and family channel or how the website.
The new community, like Facebook, kind of. Yeah.
So it's really good because it's kind of a social network, but all people that are willing to learn English are gathered in the same place because I've tried other websites. For example, when someone, let's say someone wanted to learn Russian and I wanted to learn English, but still there is a kind of, I don't know how to say, but kind of weird thing when I'm speaking my language, another person speaking in another language, and we're trying to help each other. But when all people are gathered in the same goal, I really like it.
I like that. Good. Well, then how are you currently studying? Because again, everyone has their own study habit. For example, I'm a morning person, right? So I get most of my work done in the morning. How do you study? Are you an early bird? Are you a night owl? Do you study in the evening or in the afternoon? What's your current study routine? Again, this may encourage someone or inspire someone. How do you study now?
So usually I watch daily classes in the evening. It's just because I'm more an owl because I get up late and I start my working routine almost right after I do this morning routine, right? About daily classes, they're in the evening. And also, for example, when I'm driving to the office, I'm listening to podcasts, like bonus section. Because I watched the video, like some help from another native speaker, and he said a good thing, like if you surround yourself with English, no matter what type of it, if it's a TV show, like radio or something, so you will be able to improve your skills faster. So I'm trying to do that. As I've said, I'm listening to podcasts. In the evening, I'm watching TV shows, also daily lessons in your course. And I think it works. And in terms of vocabulary, it was hard a bit in the beginning to memorize all the words, especially there were lessons with 20 words. I'm like, wow, so difficult. But I downloaded the app.
Yes.
And which helps to randomly, so words randomly pop up in that app, and it really helps. And I'm trying to make up sentences, like speaking to myself. It's kind of weird.
Yes.
But still,
that's good.
That's how I try to memorize all words.
I like that. Now, did you have a specific app you're using, or are you talking about my app? Which app are you using for the vocabulary?
For the vocabulary, I'm using Dual Cards, it's called.
Dual Cards. Okay, good. I only wanted you to say it because when they watch this video, other students might also download. You said Dual Cards?
Duo Cards.
Duo Cards. Okay, good. Thank you so much. I want to make sure everybody can benefit and they can learn as well from a different app. So
these guys, they're not paying to us.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Maybe other English learners will learn some. Let me ask this then. So it's very interesting, you know, as I teach English to many different students, many different English learners around the world, I'm always fascinated to hear stories about how English has changed their lives. I had one gentleman that's a part of our family, actually. He told me that because he started learning English and improving, he's now able to move his family out of his country. Unfortunately, his country was going through some difficulties. They had a war, so we had to move his family out of his country. And that all happened because he started studying English. So I'm always fascinated to hear stories where English has really helped a student improve or change their life. So how has your life changed after speaking English? You already are fluent in Russian, but how has English changed your life?
I think there is also always a connection between things, but I think I can connect English even to my family in general. So I met my wife in a camp when I learned English. So
English helped you get married.
Yeah, I can say like that. But if we talk about more how it's called reasons, English helped. For example, my job. So I'm working with different people around the world, and I think it gives English gives a possibility to be, how to say, to be. Forgot the word to be. Valued, to be valued in the market, you know, in the job market. And I hope that in the future, so I think you know that my country is also going through difficult times, and I'm considering moving, so maybe English also helped me to do it. So yeah, I think it opened doors in general.
I like that. So you mentioned that English is opening doors and that you're able to basically interact with other people from around the world at your job. What's your dream? What is your dream regarding English? Is it connected to your career, or is it connected to your music, your rapping? What is your dream regarding English? Like, if you could speak English the way you've always wanted to, what would you want to happen?
I think that, no, first of all, I would like to be fluent, not only to have a conversation on basic topics, but also to be easily involved in more complicated like business topics, or maybe medical or something, and feel myself comfortable in it. Because now, if we move a bit to these complicated topics, I feel okay. What vocabulary to use, right? So first of all, this like small goal. But talking about big goals, I think it can be connected with rap. I would like to be a Grammy-winning rapper.
I like that.
I don't know. I'm making up goals, but I will think about it.
I like that. All right. So now I want to ask you a question, and your answer will basically help other English learners. So what do you think is the most important thing for an English learner to remember? Something I like to remind English learners is that, yes, I'm your teacher. I'm just your guide. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you the techniques you need. But you guys actually inspire each other because you're on the same journey. I'm just here giving you tools, but you guys are together. So thinking about other English learners that are on the journey that you're on right now, what do you think is the most important thing for English learners to remember as they're studying English?
I think you also told one thing that is really important. Not to be afraid of making mistakes.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're afraid to do it, you won't succeed in improving your skills. And I think what is also important, not to memorize just grammar and Google, like how to use it, but try to be inside a culture. If you are not in the United States and UK, just to, I think many of us have a possibility to watch something, to read something, and it's the best, because I think how adults you learn languages, it's almost the same as young people, right?
But, yes.
But of course, now when we have our native language, it's a bit complicated. But still, if you do it in a proper way, I think it's easy to do.
Very good points. Very good points. I love that. I love letting students know, don't be afraid of making mistakes. It's truly okay. And that really releases and helps people feel more confident. All right.
One thing to add. I have a friend, he's from United States, but he's living 20 years in Russia.
Yeah.
And he speaks good Russian, but our thing, we usually correct non-native speakers if they make mistakes, because we think, okay, we will help them and they will understand how to speak in the proper way. And I'm asking, like, why don't you correct me? Like, why? And he's saying, but I don't need it. Like, you will understand how to speak by yourself. Different cultures. And
exactly.
It's interesting that we do one way and my friend, he does another way.
It's a very good point, you know, when you said that. So I've thought about that as well. I think because native English speakers, because of the way the language is formed, it's a very creative language. Like, we focus on, hey, what's your idea? How would you support your idea? Okay, what are some examples? Like, we're constantly focusing on what is the person thinking about, their ideas. And I think what has happened over time is if we see somebody learning, we don't want to stop that process. So it's not me, my job to correct you. Again, unless I'm your teacher, of course, and you're asking me to. But I think for your friend, that's probably what's happening. He just doesn't realize it because he's not an English teacher. But we all do that. We just kind of listen. Okay. And if it's really a bad mistake, as far as like a grammar mistake to where someone can't understand, we'll help a little bit. But yeah.
But he's an English teacher, though.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When we have class, right? We have our weekly live class. You're usually there almost every time, right? How many times have you heard me correct someone's grammar?
I don't think that you've corrected grammar. I think you've just, if someone used some words in incorrect way, maybe you've correct, but not back grammar. Then. I don't remember that you've correct grammar.
You're exactly right. And the reason is because when I start to correct someone over and over again, their confidence goes from here to here. Instead of focusing on creating their ideas, they're like, oh no, Teacher Tiffany's going to correct me and I'm going to make a mistake. Let me not make mistakes. So what happens is when we don't correct, again, I choose the times. Once a student has gotten comfortable, for example, you're very comfortable. You've been with me for a while now. So if you make a grammar mistake that I think, hey, this is something I need to help Pasha with because it's something that I've heard him do over and over and over again, I can correct you. Why? Because I already know you're confident enough to speak in front of me. You're not nervous. You know that I care. So there are some things that teachers do because we focus on the student's confident level first, and then we make the correction. Maybe your friend is doing that too.
Yeah, sure. Because if all agree that like you're allowed to correct and I'm okay with that, you're okay with that, so no problem. But if someone's just starting to learn English, yeah, it can hurt. Not hurt, but
yeah,
lower exactly. Motivation. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, look, I've enjoyed this conversation, but before we end, I do want to let you know that you can ask me any questions you have. Are there any questions you've had that you wanted to ask me? It can be about me. It can be about English. Any tips you might need or anything you can ask me right now?
Oh, I forgot to prepare to that part.
No worries.
Just small question. Like it's, you've mentioned a lot about South Korea, but have you visited other countries to teach English or just that one?
So no, I've actually only taught English in South Korea. I've visited other countries, but they were for vacation purposes. I was in Korea actually as a missionary. So I was a missionary English teacher. So I'm a Christian and I went there to teach students how to speak English, but also I taught them about the Bible as well. So it started off as a missionary excursion, missionary trip. But then I realized, oh, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy teaching English. So what initially was just being done to, you know, help others as far as a missionary ended up being my profession now. So
I think last question.
Sure.
Just interested. Can you share maybe a funny story or maybe some difficult case with the student? Just curious, like something.
Sure. Okay. So a difficult case. Okay, I'll share this one with you. I taught all ages, literally all the way up to 85 years old and all the way down to 4 years old. So I taught all age groups. The most recent difficult situation that pops into my mind right now, oh, wow, there are two. So I'll tell you one about a kid and one about an older gentleman. Mm-hmm. So the one about the kid, he was about, maybe he was 12 years old, but he was taller than me. And bigger than me. Not fat. He was just a tall kid. Like, I think his dad must have been super tall. So I'm an average height woman. I'm 5'6". So I'm an average height woman. So for a 12-year-old boy to be taller than me, it was interesting. He was the biggest guy in the class. So I love kids. I love children. But I'm also a very organized and disciplined person. So I know the benefit of teaching kids discipline. We can have a great time. But we're going to be on time. We're going to learn so we can have fun, but we need to make sure we're following the rules. So the very first day I walked into the class, again, I was always smiling. I walked into the classroom And they didn't know I could speak Korean at this time. So I walked into the classroom. And of course, you know, many of the kids had never seen an African-American woman ever. They'd seen a woman on TV that looked like me. So I walked into the classroom. They kind of looked at me and they started talking to each other. Nothing rude, just, hey, wow, this is a Black woman. Like, what is she doing here? So nothing bad. They were just kids. So I smiled and I started speaking to them in Korean because kids get excited when you can speak their language. So I was talking to the kids, but this one kid, I could tell that he was going to be a problem because they were talking and kind of paying attention to me, but he wasn't listening. He was basically the problem kid in that class. He was loud. He was rude. If I was talking, he'd be talking. He was playing with his friends. Now, again, something about me is I love kids, but I'm also a disciplinarian. So I don't like disrespect at all. So I was talking and he was talking. So I stopped class and I said, I need you to stop talking. But he didn't know me. And he, before I came, was kind of the bad kid. So he was like, whatever, lady. So I said, oh, okay. So I started speaking to him in Korean like a Korean mother. And all of a sudden, he kind of looked at me a little bit strange because now it's this Black woman, but she's speaking to me like a Korean mom. So in his head, I could see on his face, and I continued in Korean and explained to him, like, I need you to pay attention. And I had problems with him for about maybe 2 weeks. And over that time, I had to, you know, every time I come to class, he would get in trouble and I have to kind of work with him and say, listen, you're not going to be rude in my class. Other teachers didn't know how to handle him because he was a big kid. Like, he was taller than many of the teachers. So after the second week, fast forward, by the end of that term, he was my favorite student. He ended up being my favorite student. And it wasn't that he was a bad kid. He just wanted attention. So I worked with him and he became a good student. When I'd go outside of school, he'd be in the store with his mom. And again, he was acting a little bit bad, but he saw me and he stopped being bad. And his mother said, thank you. Thank you. So he ended up being one of my favorite students, even though he started off being a bad student just because he was a kid. So that was one story. Another one. This one was a little bit more, I don't want to say traumatic because I wasn't scarred, but it was more serious. There was an older gentleman. He was in his 60s. And in Korean culture, it may be similar in Russian culture. There is a hierarchical system. If you are a man, you're above a woman, right? And if you're the eldest, everyone does what you say no matter what. That's how Korean culture is. And I think Russian culture is similar, right? A little bit, not really?
Kind of.
So this guy, he had been rude to every other teacher in our institute, every teacher. He would stand up, he would yell at the teachers, point his finger in their faces. So they said, Tiff, can you have him in your class? I said, sure, no problem. Again, I love teaching, but also discipline is important for me. So I will respect you because of your age, but I'm also your teacher. So he came to my class, and it started off fine. I realized, okay, he just wants attention. He was in his 60s, but nobody really liked him. So things were going okay. I was kind of managing him. Like, you know, I liked him. He wasn't a bad guy, but it was hard to like him. I'm not going to lie. A lot of the students did not like him. He was a little bit overbearing. He would talk the most in groups and he wouldn't share the time. So one day I gave them an assignment and I put them in groups. And their assignment, for example, was to talk about sports. Let's say, for example, that was the assignment. Give a presentation on sports. So the first group went, they did good. Next group went, they did good. Then he went up and he started talking about food. So I said, let's say his name was Mr. Smith. It wasn't that because he was Korean. I said, oh, Mr. Smith, you know, we're not talking about food. The topic is sports. And he put his hand in my face and said, no, you wait, you be quiet. You guys have never seen me upset before because there's no reason for me to be upset with you guys. But again, that was extremely rude in general. And also I know Korean culture. So I was upset. So I stood up. Did I yell? I can't remember if I yelled or not, but I told him to sit down. And it was a very tense situation. And for the next like 10 minutes, I gave a speech like, you don't disrespect people. This is very rude. You know, this is the assignment. And the other students in the class, they knew I was right because they didn't care for the guy. But that wasn't the end. So class ended, you know, I was a little bit flustered. Everybody left except him. Now, before that class, we had just gotten cameras in our classroom. And I'm glad we had cameras. So everyone left and he was still there.
What's going to happen?
Right. He was still there. So he stood up. Now, remember, he was about my parents' age at the time. So I will not disrespect my elders, but I also believe respect should be both ways. So even when I told him to sit down, I spoke to him with respect, but I explained. So he walked over to my desk and exploded, completely exploded. He was yelling at the top of his lungs. He was pointing at me. And I was so glad the camera was there because you just don't know what can happen. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm not Korean. So if anything happened, I could have gotten in trouble. So I left the door open and all the teachers heard the screaming. All of the students heard and everything. No one was in there but he and I. But I learned something. When someone else is super upset, you don't match their level. You don't scream back. You have to stay calm in order to calm them down. So he's yelling at me very loud. And I said, please stop screaming. Let's just talk. I kept saying that over and over again. And he continued to get louder and louder and louder. And I felt myself getting angry. And I don't like to lose my temper. I don't like, as a teacher, my position is to take care of my students, no matter how old they are. So I shouldn't lose my cool. I shouldn't get upset and start screaming. So the more he screamed, I said, please calm down. Please calm down. I kept my voice very low. So when I felt my blood pressure start to rise, I said, I need to leave the situation. So I stood up. He's still yelling at me. I stood up to walk downstairs to the front desk. I was going to tell them to take him out of my class. As I was walking, he was following behind me. He was following behind me and screaming. I passed the teacher's office. They all were looking. Students were looking. And I had to stay calm the entire time. This is an older man. He's yelling at me, but I'm a teacher and I have to be an example. So I was talking to myself the entire time and praying, to be honest. Walked down the stairs, get to the front desk. And I said, I need you all to take this gentleman out of my class. He was literally standing right here as I'm talking to the people at the front desk, standing right in my face saying, well, what's wrong? And then what made me pause, he said, Tiff, I feel like you don't like me. And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, what did you just say? He said, I feel like you don't like me. You told me to sit down. So I realized something that I realized is that if someone is not liked or if they feel like people don't like them, remember, no one in the class liked him. And everywhere he went, people disliked him. That's a lot for a person to deal with and they feel bad about themselves. So when I heard him say that, I didn't dislike him at all. When I heard him say that, I realized this is a lot deeper. So I told the woman at the front desk, wait a minute. And I took him to a back room and we walked into the room and I said, tell me why you think I don't like you. And he started to tell me, he's like, Tiff, nobody likes me. And this is literally in his late 60s. And I felt like I was talking to a child that had been traumatized. And so he's expressing himself. And I'm thinking about everything that had happened and he's expressing himself to me. And I said, listen, I don't dislike you. I like you. I said, but you can't treat people the way that you treated me today or other students. And I can't remember if he started crying or he asked to give me a hug. Now, remember, I said, I've been yelled at for the last 5 minutes. My blood is boiling. I don't like to be touched if I'm upset. But I knew, he said, can I hug you, Tiff? So I paused and I was going to say no, but I said, this is going to give him, make him feel better. So I let him hug me and I said, listen, moving forward, you can't treat people the way you're treating. So anyways, the next day he came to class, he apologized to the entire class. Now he had never done that before. He had been in other teachers' classes and been just horrible. But I could tell that even though it was a bad situation for both of us, it really was a breakthrough for him. And he apologized to everyone. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to get better. So that was just one experience. You know, as teachers, we have many different experiences because there are many different personalities and we have to kind of just deal with people. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really interesting story because I was also teaching not students, like small children, mm-hmm. but I didn't have that kind of cases. Yeah, because I think someone, if other person were you in that kind of situation, they might cry and then also go out. So you should have patience during that kind of moments.
Yeah.
So good that you dealt with that.
Yeah, yeah. I thanked God for helping me in that situation. So, yeah. Well, Pasha, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I hope you, is it nighttime there or is it morning there?
Like evening, 9 p.m. almost.
9 p.m.? Okay. Well, I hope you have a great night.
Yeah, thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you want to receive free English tips via email every week, all you have to do is go to www.speakenglishwithtiffany.com/newsletter. Sign up for free now. Once again, that's www.speakenglishwithtiffany.com/newsletter. This has been Teacher Tiffany with the Speak English with Tiffany podcast. Until next time, remember to speak English.